You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. Kind of sedate but busy day. We're going to talk a lot about the NCAA tournament that's already started. It's about 4 hours old already. An upset or two. Bad news for me, although I kind of don't trumpet this very often. I'm a graduate of New Mexico State. They had Auburn on the ropes. They should have won the game. They lost by one. They had, like, I think one, two, 3 seconds left in the game. Down by two. Their best scorer and shooter on the free throw line, he made only one free throw, and they lose by one.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all.
Now, that's like the closest to being emotional you've been. I like
yes,
it.
Yes, I don't, yeah, that's it.
You said you were almost, what did you say? You were
almost caring?
Almost caring, or you were almost down, or?
No, I just kind of, I don't trumpet my past that way. I don't really say I'm an Aggie guy. I'm just, you know. Only when they're good.
Hey, you'd make a great Arizona fan.
Yeah, right. Well, they had a chance. I mean, their coach they have is very good. Very good. He has a bad history, some history where he's going to have a hard time getting a real good job, but he's done very well at the program. And to win there is very difficult. So, you know, good luck to him.
I wonder if Scott would say they ought to get rid of him.
No, he probably trumpeted them because they're doing well. They're overachieving on a lot of levels.
Ah, okay.
We'll talk about the NCAA tournament, what's going on to this point, and what's coming up ahead. At 1:15, we're going to talk to Adam Gonzalez. He's the PR guy for the women's basketball program at U of A. They have a big game tonight, the first round of the WNIT here at McHale Center. That should be fun for a lot of people who have kind of jumped on the bandwagon of the women's basketball program. They're doing very well. You are one?
Yes. I know. I have a question.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So is the WIT the equivalent of the NIT?
Yes.
And
it's
so
the women's NIT.
When the women, so if the women don't make the, do the women have a big dance, or is it called the big waltz?
No.
It's all right.
It's called the big dance. They have
so if you
own.
Don't make it to there, then you can go to the WIT?
Yeah, WNIT.
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 The like, WNIT.
Yes, the
gotcha.
Women's NIT.
Okay.
So, and it's 64 teams in that, I think. 64, 32, one of those. It's a big tournament for the women, very prestigious for them. If you can't make the NCAA, you go there. And it's a good start for her program. It's kind of like a real rebuilding thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so bigger and better things up ahead. We'll see what they do tonight. They beat the team already by like 20-something earlier this year. It was the first game of the year they played Idaho State, and now they play them again. So we'll see what happens there at 6:30 at McHale. I will not be going only because I have
you'll be
some
watching
basketball.
ASU.
Yeah, watching. No, ASU plays tomorrow.
Oh,
they played last night, so I'll have a day off to get to. They're in Tulsa now. They won last night. They played really well. Obviously, I thought they'd win though. I picked them to win last night.
What was the what they win by?
I think it was by like 10, 10-ish.
Tennis?
Yeah, tennis. Let me just get you a score for 74-65.
Well, you know, I mentioned I'm going to be in Vegas in a couple of weeks. Maybe you'll have to figure out what you want me to bet for, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to go for the Final Four? Is that what it is? When are you going?
You know, actually, I'll be there up on the 5th.
That's the weekend of the Final Four.
Is it?
Yeah, next weekend is Sweet 16, and the weekend after is...
I'll be there the 5th, 6th, and coming back on Sunday.
That's then they play the championship on Monday. So, yeah, I'll give you some, you know, I'll give you $2, put it on something.
Yeah. Boxing?
Black 33, something like that. Boxing? No, no.
You know, the last time I was there, I made money at roulette. And you never make money at roulette, but
I don't. I have.
Really?
I love roulette. I don't play it very much anymore, though.
I mean, it's like Keno. You don't have to really think a lot. You just sit there and drink free Pepsis.
So how do you bet it? Because I'll tell you how I bet it.
I go with my, you know, birthday numbers and stuff. Mm. And then because every time I try to go red or black, I lose.
Uh-huh.
But I'll do zero, double zero, and, you know.
Yeah, I never bet that. So
my wife does it your way. Odds and evens and black and red? Is that what you do?
No, I follow trends.
Okay.
And I know that every spin is a season. and it doesn't affect the next season.
You knew somebody would say that.
No, it's serious.
You'll see seven will hit whatever number it seems to be hitting a lot.
That's what I do.
And then it's gone.
I watch the board.
Yeah.
I watch the board. If the ball's been hitting low, like under 18 or whatever for a few of them, I ride it until it doesn't. Or I ride the high, or depends, or red, black, stuff like that. I ride it until it doesn't. And then what'd you say? So every ball's a season, but I do the trends.
Right.
Thinking that if it goes low for three or four times, I ride it until it doesn't.
Is that how you play blackjack?
No. I rarely play blackjack. Okay. I rarely play blackjack.
Horses, you do research.
I very rarely play the horses. I watch the horses, and I only bet the horses I think are going to win. So I don't like bet every race. I bet what I think is going to win. So I can. It's kind of like I was taught this early. It's like a bus. It's like a bus, and you're at a bus stop. You don't have to take every bus.
You just
take the bus that's ready for you.
But you hit a trifecta.
We hit it a few times with Saturday.
Wow, that's not easy.
No, it's not easy, but sometimes they're very clear-cut that they're going to win. They just don't pay you a whole lot.
That is the exact horse and the exact place they come in?
Yeah, first, second, and third.
You made a $6 bet and made $4.80?
No. Made a $12 bet and made $6 on it. Yeah.
Something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah, because the favorites all came in. We had a couple shots in there, so just spicing it up, and it came lower than the expected price.
If I'm there on the 5th and 6th, then I'll be able to see some pretty good games.
Oh, yeah. And Vegas is great with that. Vegas is great this weekend because you have tons of games, people betting on like crazy. Alliances, allegiances, stuff like that in Vegas, kind of just having fun.
And do they still play at the MGM or are they playing T-Mobile now?
What do you mean?
There's
no games there.
I'm sorry. The Pac-12 is that still, my mind jumped, is that still at MGM?
No. T-Mobile? Yeah.
And there are no games, though, in Vegas?
No, there's nothing going on now, at least related to college basketball. That's over.
I would think I know, they don't do that because UNLV.
No, that has nothing to do with that. It's just the sites are already determined in other venues across the country.
Have they been in Vegas?
No. No, they don't do it there because they just haven't done it there ever.
Really?
They haven't done it there ever, and it's just not one of those sites. Maybe in the future, but not now. I would assume that there might be a Final Four there because of the new stadium for the Raiders. I would assume that maybe in the next 10 years. Because they like those type of things where they can fill 80,000 people. I've been to 18 of them, 18 Final Fours.
Wow.
And the best are in San Antonio, Indianapolis, because the city kind of celebrates the whole thing and you're all in one venue, one area.
Right.
The one in Phoenix, I really didn't like. The one in New York, I absolutely hated.
Where is it, Madison Square Garden?
No. It was New Jersey at the big stadium.
Okay.
And we had to take a bus. It took us 3 hours to get across the bridge. New York didn't even seem like there was the tournament because there was no excitement. You're in New York. Everything happens in New York. So Final Four, c'est la vie. It wasn't that big of a deal. San Antonio, it's a big deal. Indianapolis, when Arizona won in 97. 98, I can't remember where it was, 98. Well, they didn't go to 98. I went, but I can't remember. My first one was Minnesota, 1991. They're going back to Minnesota this year.
In Minneapolis, right? Minneapolis. What does that hold?
I don't know, maybe 65. The worst one was in Phoenix. Like I said, it was huge. It was packed. I didn't have a great seat, but I had a seat on press row, and it was okay, Phoenix, but it was not centralized. It was downtown, a lot of activities. The game was in Glendale where the Cardinals play, so it was a lot of different activities all over the city.
Mm.
It wasn't centralized.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
the Olympics or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So let's take a quick break here, then we'll go to our phone line, talk to Adam Gonzalez of the UA women's basketball team. And welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and let's go to the phone lines real quick, talk to Adam Gonzalez here from the UA Women's Basketball Program. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Big night tonight. A lot of people. What kind of a crowd do you expect tonight?
You know, I think we can get somewhere around 4,000 or 5,000. We've already sold over 2,500 tickets, you know, pre-walk-up, and we usually get our most when people come walk up. So, you know, we got people like, you know, Coach Sumlin, Dave Hickey, Solomon Hill buying tickets, and it's awesome.
Yeah, very cool. Kind of the community comes together for the games like this. And it looks, it's just kind of a warm and fuzzy feeling with the Dea doing so well early in her career here. It must be a joy for you, being a younger kind of PR guy, to have such a good, comforting person to PR for.
Yeah, for sure. You know, her first year was also my first year. So, you know, my entire time full time here has just been with her, and it's been great to work with her. You know, it's been awesome to see her, you know, take the program to where it's at right now. And obviously it's not where she wants it to be yet, but you know, it's certainly on the up and up, and it's been really cool to be a part of.
Sure. No, enjoy the ride. It'll be a nice little career for her and for you as you guys see each other kind of extend your careers and become bigger and better. Hey, we talked about McDonald. You set up an interview with McDonald, Arian McDonald, about a week or so ago. Great girl, a good basketball player, obviously. But she has compliments to her game as well with the other people.
I mean, she's unbelievable. Like Coach Barnes says it all the time. The best part of her game isn't her scoring. So it's just kind of the way she sees the floor, her quickness, her passing ability. I mean, she's still scoring 25 a game while she's getting about, you know, 6-7 assists a game in the past couple months. So it's pretty unbelievable to see what she can do.
Yeah. Who are the complimentary players for her?
You know, Sam Thomas has been huge for us lately because she's been able to, you know, knock down the three-pointer. She's making, you know, one or two a game the past couple months. So she's been huge in the corner. Kate Reese down low, Dominique McBride. I mean, everybody's really, you know, pitching in, doing what they can to, you know, get us to where we're at now.
Yeah, I think when
it'll be nice to have Lucia back because, you know, she missed a few games injury, and now she's kind of getting back into the swing of things, and she's really important to what we do.
Right. I guess you travel with the team. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you see the confidence in these women grow as they were competing? They beat ASU here at home, which was a huge win for the program. And then they go eventually to Stanford and Cal and play those games very, very close.
Yeah, that first ASU game that we won here kind of like flipped a switch for us. Like, okay, you know, we're 12-1 now. We beat a good team. Not only did we beat a good team, we beat them pretty good. And, you know, we kind of realized that this is something that we could do. We can maybe, you know, get to the postseason, make a run at the NCAA tournament. And just to kind of see the way the whole team was, you know, feeling after losing those games at Stanford and Cal, it showed that, you know, this is where we want to be. And we can compete with these teams. And we can beat these teams.
Mm-hmm. You talked about, is it Kate Reese? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Who I thought she was going to be a key person coming in as well as McDonald. So what has she brought to the table? Because she's kind of like your 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's someone that, you know, she had an unbelievable start to the season. And, you know, as a freshman, you start in the Pac-12, you're playing against players like Inigwe and Huff and Alana Smith. It's going to take some getting used to. But, you know, as the season has progressed, she has also gotten a lot better. And so she's someone like an athletic post player that, you know, we haven't really had like her in a few years. And so just her as a freshman, seeing where she's at right now, she could be unbelievable, you know, score over 1,000 points, you know, all Pac-12 kind of player. She's unbelievable.
You saw McDonald play last year, or you know, in your first year, her first as her, she was on the team. Did you expect to see what you saw from her this year?
I mean, I can't say that I expected her to score 25 a game, but the first thing that popped out to me was just how, you know, fat, like her first step, like she will go, like the best defender in the country wouldn't be able to guard her first step. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Obviously, she was, you know, on the practice team last year, so she was running, you know, sets from other teams.
Yeah.
But I could tell right away that, you know, she had that quick first step, and she's just, you know, worked on her game a ton last year, and it's great to see what she's doing this year.
Yeah, no question. I think you're probably – are you too young to remember Michael Dickerson?
No, I mean, I remember him. I was pretty young then, but I do remember him.
Yeah, he had that first kind of step, got people on the defensive end, kind of moving back, kind of separation.
Yeah, I mean, if you kind of have to gamble on her first step if you're defending her, and if you are wrong, then she's right by you.
Yeah, yeah. What's the buzz in McHale?
You know, everybody's excited right now. Everybody on the staff is, you know, we're looking forward to tonight. We're expecting a big crowd. You know, we've been working at it the past couple of days because we only had a few days to prep for this, but, you know, everybody's excited. Everybody's talking about it, so it should be a good night.
Yeah, I can't remember which game it was. Was it the ASU game? Was it the Stanford game at home where you had more than 4,000, close to 5?
Yeah, it was the ASU game. That was our highest attended game so far, even more than our kids' day.
Yeah, and so that should be kind of equal to for tonight?
I would think so. I think we're going to get 4,000 or 5,000 people here.
Yeah, yeah. And what it really does is kind of generate excitement for next year. I know you guys probably haven't talked about next year, but I'm sure there's a lot of excitement about what's coming up.
Yeah, you know, everybody's coming back, except we're losing a few. We're losing Destiny. We're losing Lindsay. We're glad to have TT back. But losing Destiny and Lindsay will be big. They're great for our culture. But, you know, the core, like a lot of the core, will still be here next year. And, you know, we only expect to get better from here.
Yeah, and you have a – I think you guys can talk about it because they've already signed the recruiting class, a very good one.
Yeah, no, we got a bunch of international kids. One, Tara, is here right now. So she's been she got here in January, and she has, you know, really kind of learned what the college game is like, the speed of the game. She's worked on her game quite a bit. She's a really good shooter, so she's going to be someone that will help us down the road. And then, you know, all these few of these other players, we have a lot of big-time international experience, you know, playing in the World Championships, playing in the European Championships. So it's kind of a different experience level that they're going to have from, you know, some girls that would play here in the States.
Yeah. The game is not on TV tonight, correct?
No, it's on. It's streamed on our website on ArizonaWildcats.com. You can find it there. Same place that we've had it all year long for games that weren't on TV.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Is Coach Bonvicini kind of come and watch this game? Is she in town?
Yeah, Coach B, I think I saw that she bought a few tickets. I mean, she could have easily asked me for a credential. I could have gotten her in, but no, she bought a few tickets, so she'll be here. She comes to a lot of our games. She's at our practices all the time, talks with the team, talks with Coach Barnes, and she's been very important to us.
Yeah, no question. I had Coach Bonvicini on the show, and obviously she's very proud of Adia, because Adia played for her, what, almost 20-some mm-hmm. years ago?
Yeah, and 98 was her senior year, so 20 years ago.
20 years ago, yeah, yeah. Imagine that, you know, what a great story. Adia comes back, you know, one of the all-time great players in the program, if not the best player in all time, mm-hmm. and comes back and kind of resurges this program for what could lead to very big things down the road.
Yeah, it's funny when, you know, we handed Ari her commemorative basketball for breaking the single season scoring record. It was by the one who held the record, so that was a pretty cool moment.
Right, right. And you just had news coming out this morning about Ari. Why don't you guys talk about it being the All-American?
Yeah, so she is one of 52, we'll call it finalists for the WBCA All-American team. It's in five different regions. So the region Ari was in was all, you know, West Coast players, and they were all Pac-12 players. So she was one of 10 players from the Pac-12 that were all-region team. And so then they will vote on the best 10 in the country, and they'll announce that early April during the Final Four. But, yeah, it's pretty amazing what she's doing. First year, you know, playing for us, and she's one of the top 50 players in the country.
Yeah, yeah. Who would have thought that beginning of the year? And then she kind of held it throughout. She was number two for a long time. Was she ever number one for a while?
Yeah, she was number one for a bit. She's been top three pretty much all season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she held number one for a couple weeks. And Gustafson from Iowa, who might be the National Player of the Year, averaging about 27 and 13 a game, kind of has held it for the last month or so.
Mm-hmm. How has covering or helping with the women's team, PR-wise, how has that been for you?
It's awesome. Just because, you know, just the way we have, you know, the trajectory of us. Because, I mean, obviously in the past 10 years, we haven't been that great.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to kind of see, you know, us building up, so coach's first year, you know, it's all about Coach Barnes. She came back, got a bunch of seniors, and then last year was a bit of a struggle. And now we've won 18 games, and it's, you know, it's really cool to promote these girls. And, you know, they're great people. They've got great stories, and they're just a joy to be around.
Right, right. No. Well, good luck tonight. Thank you for your time. We'll probably get you back if they come back again and win and then come back next week. I would assume. What happens if they win tonight?
We will find out. They should find out immediately after the game. If we should win, I'd imagine we play Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We will find out from the WNIT rep that will be here, and we should be able to announce that right after the game or the next morning.
Okay, great, great. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Steve. Yes, thanks for having me.
That was Adam Gonzalez of the U of A women's basketball program. He's the media relations director for that team. Good to have him on the show. Big game tonight with Arizona versus Idaho State. They played them earlier this year and handled them pretty easily. Not to say that'll happen again, because it's always difficult to beat a team twice because of, you know, talking overconfidence or whatever you have. At this level in college, that's what I've learned more than anything. Emotions, if you're not ready, you get beat.
Emotions matter, but not momentum.
Correct. Momentum. Let's take a break and talk about momentum again. Here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera.
Rivera.
Hey, good big game tonight. I wish I had a chance to go down tonight. I might do this weekend. I'm not too sure what I'm going to do because I hadn't seen them at all this year. But I hope to eventually. I mean, it's obviously extra. This is bonus coverage for the women's basketball program.
Yeah.
Given that the Arizona men's basketball team is not on the road playing somewhere. It's funny. I was coming in, driving in today, either to my other work or here. I can't remember where. But it felt weird because this is the first time in forever that I haven't made it to an NCAA tournament.
Wow.
I think it's my second one I've missed in 30 years, 30 plus years, where I haven't been on the road with the team to cover a game. If they played on a Friday, today would be in a media session with the team.
Mm-hmm.
If not, we'd be preparing to watch the game today. Really strange. It's very strange because it'd be Utah, Seattle. It'd be somewhere. We'd be on the road somewhere.
Just an odd. You feel misplaced, huh?
Yes, I think a lot of Tucsonans feel the same thing. If you have any thoughts on that, guys, if you are usually on the road with the team when this time of year happens, give me a buzz 790-2040. Tell me how you feel about it, or does it feel odd like it does for me? Like I said, I haven't missed very many of those. Maybe two, three, maybe in 30 some years, because they haven't missed very many. I did not go to the tournament in 2015, I think it was, when they played Wichita State, maybe 2016. That was too far for me to travel for a day, knowing that they'd probably lose that first game, and it was not worth it. But last year, I went to Boise, flew into Boise for that one, and 2 years ago, I actually drove to Salt Lake City in a day, 12 hours, to get up there, and then they did well, so I just drove back, and then I went to San Jose, flew to San Jose.
Well, you got to pick up the tab now, so it's probably
I did that then. It was part of the company that the website that we work for.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that picked up the tab, and they're great sponsors.
But not like the gigantic Tucson Citizen corporate monster.
Correct. Those were the good old days when we can go on their dime. And it was busy. It was a lot of work. You know, I think we told you about that. Everyone's you get to talk to the players. Yeah. Have great. Go eat and have fun. You know, most of the time you're spent in the press room talking to old, ugly sports writers like me.
Hey, how you doing? Okay. You know, I've lost 5 pounds. Stop drinking soda. Oh, you catch a beer later? Okay.
You know.
Busy working, eh?
Busy working,
so,
yeah.
For young kids today, you would not suggest
sports writer? That's a tough question for me to answer. Tough question. To be honest, and let me tell you that this is funny because now we're going to veer off sports, but we'll talk about sports writing. I must have been 15 years old, 14 years old, and back when I grew up in Santa Fe, we've talked about that before, we had, you know, those career guys come in and talk about being a sports writer or journalist for a newspaper. And
oh, really?
You're talking 40 some years ago, and they would say, you know, there's not a lot of money in it. The hours are pretty sucky, and you're just not going to make any money. And it's a tough life. And I'm thinking, here's this guy telling me that my dream is not good, because right. This is the only thing I ever want to do. And I'm thinking, how could this guy tell me this? I refuse to believe any word that he says. So I kind of dismissed it, continued on my trek to do this, went to school, all that. And in school, they tell you, this is a profession that it's very difficult to get into, one, and two, you're not going to make a lot of money, but you're going to have a good time if you enjoy it, yada, yada. So I continued on. And even when I got a job and I moved here to Tucson and worked and had a great job, it was always that. Yes, they were right in the money. But if you're good, you can do a lot of different things, and you make decent money, and you get to do what you get to do. I mean, how many people get to do that?
That's true.
The only thing
that's
they want to do. So I got to live my dream for a long time, and I still do. I guess I'm just doing it on radio now and do it for the website and do it for other people. But it's a tough gig, man. There are not very many jobs out there. Look, back in the day, we had the Citizen, we had the Star, we had a Tucson Weekly that was thriving in terms of a lot of people who were writing for it, a lot of venues to write for. Now it's a lot of websites that probably don't pay a whole lot, if at all.
Right.
It's a tough gig. Very tough.
Social media doesn't really pay a lot.
No, unless you have a back. No. In fact, now they have The Athletic, and they have some other couple of major national newspapers or websites.
Mm.
And it's very odd how they're going to survive. They must have millions in their pocket to kind of waste or spend on people.
Advertisers, so, I guess.
I guess subscriptions. And it's not very much. It's $2 or $3 a month. It's not very much. But if you have a ton of them nationally, because most of the national writers work for them, I'm sure their salaries are not that great, but you get to continue to do what you do.
So with all that in mind, what would the elder Steve Rivera tell the young 14, 15-year-old in that class now? If you were talking to that class and there you are sitting, would you break that kid's spirit and you're going to work your butt off and one day you might regret going?
Good question. I don't know. I'll tell the person who invited me to come over, sorry, I can't make it that day.
I'm a firefighter, kids.
It's funny. I can't tell you this story online on the air because it's kind of too embarrassing. But would I change my career? Heck no. Even my sons asked me, would you change it? No, because I met some great people and did some fantastic things. I went to the Olympics a couple times, covered some great games, the NBA and all that, finals, Olympics. Man, what would I tell them? Be prepared for some heartache. Okay. Be prepared for some long days. Be prepared for some tough questions you need to ask the people you're writing about. Have fun, because if you don't have fun, what's the point? What's the point? Do we have fun here?
Oh, absolutely.
That's because, you have to have fun. If it comes to, and I dread coming to work every day, what would be the point?
Right.
It'd be the point. So we try to have fun, crack some funny here every now and again.
You didn't like it, you could get a morning show job.
Hey, good idea. Good idea. So just try to have as much fun as you can. Know that there's going to be heartache. Know that there's going to be not a whole lot of money. Unless you're very good, really good, people ask you to do things for them. And luckily, people do locally for magazines and things like that. So I make a lot of side money.
If being in the military helped you get into the, being a mail person, postal worker, whatever, does being a former player help you get into the sports commentating business or writing?
That's a great question, because let me tell you something. I feel sorry, if I could feel sorry, I'm not sure I do, for the broadcasters who go to school to be broadcasters on TV or in sports or even on news.
Right.
Because the people that are being hired now are former athletes, because they have an insight to the game that the reporters don't. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And you see them in NFL shows, NBA shows, where they have ex-players coming in and take those jobs. The only one that has that background is the host.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The rest aren't. They're either producers or they're whatever.
But when I was playing, and I remember the coach yelling at me, and even though you got 6 years of college, you can't say that. You could say, I always wanted to get yelled at by the coach.
No. But let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Especially the people, and I've heard this from people who read me and not so much listen to me so far, because I'm still new to this, but who read me and say, what do you know? You never played the game. Well, that's true. I didn't play it at that level, but I played it at some level. But I get paid to analyze and to write what I know. So the people saying that don't have a clue what we do. So I dismiss it that way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, you don't have to be an expert on frozen water to say the Titanic was not, was a tragedy.
Correct. I've said some, and I just said, if you want to see my resume, I'll surely send it to you if you'd like to see it. So that might be a smart butt remark to say, but it's true. I mean, we go to school to do these things for a reason.
All good coaches, all former players?
No. No, but a lot, let me tell you, some who are good coaches, some of the guys who didn't play that much, because does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you know what they're doing? They're sitting on the bench and they're observing.
Yep.
They're observing substitute patterns or they're observing the game rather than playing in it.
How much did Miller play?
A lot. He was very good. He was very good in the way he coaches today. Very smart, very intense, he knows the game very well. One of the things, when he was having success maybe 2-3 years here, I got a hold of his former teammates at Pitt, where that's where he went, and he says, we knew that he was good right away because he was a son of a coach. Sons of coaches play well all the time, very smart, but you could tell when he was really into it was his eyes. If you ever notice his eyes, very, very intense. He'd stare you down, or he would just laser through you as a player, and now as a coach too.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. And even when he kind of answers these questions to reporters, gives you the stare down.
Laser eye.
Yeah, yeah. And I've, that's one of the things I've noticed with him. After I wrote that story, what, maybe 7 years ago?
Son of a coach. That's what Scott called him.
Son of a coach. And he is. Son of a coach.
Or maybe it wasn't coach. I can't remember. I don't know.
No, those guys are usually very good because they've grown up around the game. It's like Rhett Rod, who's the son of Rich Rod.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a very good coach because he knows exactly what needs to be done in certain situations. You've been through it 1,000 times, you know, and you know what works and what doesn't. You
probably are able to relate to the pressure, unlike a broadcasting graduate.
Right.
You know, very uniquely.
Right. It's mostly that's why I'm reading. It's mostly those good looking dudes who get the TV gigs. Not the sports guys, but the sports guys, not the ex-players. And those guys do too, but you know what I'm saying. It's more aesthetics than it is anything else.
Well, you know, those that have a face for radio and those that don't. Right?
Yes. My mom and my dad owe me something.
So if you don't go see the Lady Cats, what are you going to...
What am I going to do tonight?
Yeah.
Watch some hoops. Watch some big games tonight, like I will tomorrow, and watch Saturday and Sunday.
And who are you watching tonight?
I don't know. I don't know what's on the schedule.
There's a couple of games going in there.
Actually, there's a lot. There's a bunch of games.
Like, eight,
right
okay.
now, let me tell you, Kansas has Northeastern, and the two people are listening to me now because they're probably watching basketball. Kansas has them 18-11 with 11 minutes left. Maryland is barely beating Belmont with 18 minutes left.
They're in the second half and it's 18-11?
No. 41-40. Oh, yeah, yeah, no. The first game is 18-11, but it's 11 minutes into the first half.
Oh, okay.
First half.
You said 11 minutes left. I'm like,
11
wow.
minutes of the first half.
Good defense.
Let's see. Michigan State is 50-48 over Bradley. Very close. Michigan State's a very good team, but they're like Arizona. They always struggle in the first or second round to get to this. After they get past the first round, they're okay. But it's the struggle to get past that first round. And this is where emotion comes. So a lot of teams at this time of year, you could have a very good team against but you were perceived to be a not so good team. And the big team kind of feels, we just have to walk into the court, play our game, and we're out of there. It doesn't happen that way. Didn't happen at all at this time of year.
Well, you were going to talk about emotion and momentum.
And that's what it is.
Coming back from the brain.
In fact, today's game with New Mexico State and Auburn had won 8 straight. They had won the SEC tournament, had been playing very well, and they struggled with New Mexico State. Although New Mexico State's a very good game, very good team. They had won a lot of games since, I don't know, they had, I guess, 30-4, a very older team, and played Auburn very well. They just didn't win the game.
So with emotion, is positive emotion for the winner going to be stronger than the potential loser having all this negative emotion coming into a game? I don't know how I can phrase it better, so you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, say it one more time. Give me one more chance at it.
You're talking about emotions going in.
Yes.
So if having positive emotions going in are a plus, are the opposite equally a negative on the team if they're all going in, I don't know if we can do this, and the coach isn't happy.
Because I think both teams going with some confidence or some emotion, because the underdog, everyone loves to be the underdog. It's very difficult to play as the favorite, very difficult, especially this time of year, because there's a lot of pressure on you. But if you're not emotionally ready to play, you're going to get beat. You're just going to get beat. It happens all the time. It's like how you explain when Arizona played a lot of teams here in football under Rodriguez, they beat teams that you wouldn't expect them to beat. And they lost to teams that you didn't expect them to lose to because they just weren't emotionally ready. They just thought they'd just show up and win.
And everybody's always rooting for the underdog, especially in the dance.
Especially on a neutral court. Especially on a neutral court, which everybody's playing on right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's more fun.
It's more, exactly. It is. It is. And you're pulling for those teams to pull those upsets off because it could benefit you. That you don't. Then you have to play the underdog the next game if you advance.
Well, I was thinking about those negative emotions, and who was the coach you had on where she said, I get to know my players' boyfriends?
Oh, yeah, it was Rocky.
Yeah, yeah. Talk that way, if they, you know, have a good solid relationship, you don't have to worry about them all breaking up the night before a big game and dealing with those emotions.
Sure, sure. No, it might have been Kendrea. It could have been one of those. Or
it was a lady coach you had on first month.
It might have been Kendrea. It might have been.
What was the beer drinking story?
Rocky LaRose.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's very true. It's very true. I didn't realize it until later that was probably the case where you have a lot of those side issues, the off the court issues, off the field issues that affect the game by game, because, you know, a pitcher could come in and, oh, I'm just not feeling it today because something bad happened with my family or my boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever. And good luck with that. That's a key position to have someone down in. Hey, we're already over it. Let's go. We're at 148 here on Thursday. Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and we'll be talking a lot about the NCAA tournament. In the next hour, I'm talking to colleague Anthony Gimeno. I pried him off his regularly scheduled program for a moment of talking U of A basketball, probably U of A women's basketball, and the current basketball tournament. So,
well, I think you should go to the game.
Oh, tonight? Yeah, no, I don't have time.
Well, eventually we need to go to a game.
Yeah, maybe this weekend.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Except we got the big thunder and lightning over Arizona thing this weekend, right?
Yeah, what time are you going?
The time keeps changing, so now I'll be there in the afternoon Saturday.
Yeah.
You'll be there Sunday.
I'll be Sunday morning, yeah. I guess I'm going to have to stay a while just to see them because I'm going kind of early, they said. Or Chuck said that.
Yeah. Well, it starts at 11, so I would hang out. And
yeah, it starts at 11, so I'll be there. I'm from 9:30 to 11:30, so I'll be there for at least till 1 o'clock probably.
I mean, the actual show, but you can walk around and, you know, go see the – if you ever seen the SR-71 out there, that's – oh, wait, the SR-71's at the Air and Space Museum, Pima Air and Space Museum. Yeah. So. Okay.
Did you eventually fill out a bracket? You probably did not, right?
No, because I don't really have any interest unless I know – you know, what I'm going to do with it.
It's funny. I had plans and doing it last night. I kind of went through it briefly at the office after I left here and kind of went through it and blah, blah, blah. No science, nothing scientific, just how I feel. Hmm. And got up this morning. I'll get up early before the games. And I was getting up this morning. I said, nah, I don't need to do one. I really don't care. And then as closer I got to 9 o'clock, I'm thinking, I better do one. So I did one and I submitted it. And I've missed already two big games. I missed the Minnesota game. I picked Louisville to beat Minnesota, and I picked New Mexico State to beat Auburn. That would have been my huge pick because they were a 5 seed playing a 12 seed, and he missed the two free throws at the end of the game, which would have been the game winners. But that's how kind of crazy. Today's going to be a big day of upsets. It looks like it's already going to happen. There's some teams that are highly seeded but struggling with the lower seeded teams. So we'll see.
And
good time of year.
What was the other upset you alluded to that's already happened that I've missed?
It was the Minnesota-Louisville game. Minnesota was a 10 seed and Louisville was a 7 seed. And Minnesota had them pretty much from start to finish.
That's not a big upset, though.
No.
Nobody falling so far.
Well, there was a bigger seed. Louisville was like a 5-point favorite. And they beat them by about 10 or 12.
Ouch.
Yeah. LSU won by 5. Auburn barely won, 78-77. That was a close game. Florida State pulled off their win against Vermont. That was closer than thought. Michigan State is up by 1 with 7 minutes left, 54-53. That's a 2 versus 15. In fact, 2 versus 15.
2 versus 15. Well, that would be an upset.
If you remember, Arizona was in a 2-for-15, 2 versus 15 game in 1993. They lost to Santa Clara as a 2 seed. One of the first, it was the second time it's 2 seed had lost to a 15. Back then, it was 25 years ago already, 26 years ago.
Still remember that.
Yeah, everyone still talks about it because of Steve Nash. And Steve Nash wasn't a big factor in that, although he did hit some big free throws at the end of the game. I think he finished with 9 points, 10 points, all from the free throw line. Or most from the free throw line, I don't want to say all. So it happens. I mean, if you're not ready to play, especially in this big stage, you're going to get beat. Happens all the time.
Yeah. 80,000 people in some of those arenas, huh?
That's no. And these ones, not so much. These ones are about like 15 to 20.
Final Four.
Final Four is probably more likely about 60,000.
Minneapolis
is about that. Yeah, I remember.
That's huge.
It's huge, yes. It's a big stage. A lot
the
of Kale
is 15.
50, right.
Am I right?
Yeah. So that's when you have all the schools sending 15,000.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. The city goes bonkers if you're not in New York or Phoenix. Phoenix is going to have the Final Four in about 3 or 4 years again. I think they just need to get it better where it's all in one place, where it's fun in one place, not all over the city where you have to take, 5 hours to get to one place to get to the other.
Do it at Bear Down Gym.
Well, we'll see if they ever come back. The NCAA comes back to do a first or second round game because they've been out of the loop for about 7-8 years. Probably, I think 2001 was the last, or 2011 was the last time. So we'll see if that happens. Any more scores? I don't think that's it. That's the early scores of the early sessions of the games. Kansas has got a 7-point lead now. Maryland 2-point over Belmont. So we'll see.
Do you ever get these calls?
Are you looking for affordable?
Where the person goes, "Hi, how are you?" And then you talk and go, "Hi, Anna, are you there?"
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you clearly.
Are you a recording?
Are you looking for affordable insurance coverage?
Yes, and a car. Do you get those phone calls all the time?
I get. It's funny. I get, and I wrote a story about this somewhere.
Really?
Those robocalls, you know, yeah. Hey, you just, I get them.
But they're so convincing.
And I block them all on my cell. That's the only phone I have on my cell. And it's very, there was a time when I was getting like 5, 6, 7 a day. And you're thinking, what the heck? What the heck? It becomes really, because you're in the car or you're wherever and you look at the phone number and you just, no, that's not it. That's not right. And then the phone calls start coming like they're coming from inside the city. Because they have, like, it's an important, you know, my mom's calling, my emergency. And it's, you know, would you like to buy insurance from us? Shut up.
I'll just put them on the air from now on, whenever they call. But they got me this morning. They go, "Hi, this is Christy. How are you?" Wait for a response. Uh-huh. So now I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you just, yeah, I get it.
It's very frustrating.
The heart, everybody goes through it. I put that on Facebook not too long ago, and everybody chimed in. Oh, we get them all the time. So annoying. Blah, blah, blah.
I just wonder, the people that record those, I mean, does it bother them at all? The people that have to record
not that? If they get paid for it. Not if they're getting paid for it.
Okay. I'm just wondering if it bothers anybody to be.
So if you hear my voice, hello, this is Steve. Would you like some insurance? Cut rate insurance. I got happy because the check cashed.
How about those Phoenix Suns?
Hey, you know what they did today? They signed Jimmer Fredette, and now you know you don't know that name. He played for BYU. I think he scored like 45 against Arizona in a game, maybe 7-8 years ago. He was a fantastic college player. Played for BYU. I think he was drafted in the top 10, and. He just got signed by the Suns. Wow. He's been out of the league for a while. He was playing in China, lighting it up in China. But this goes to show you, just because you're a good college player doesn't always translate into becoming a very good or a good NBA player.
What kind of money is he going to make?
Don't know. I didn't see that. It's still early in the stages. He got a 1-year contract, possibly two. But good luck to him and good luck to the Suns. It's very, very odd that they would sign him because they're not very good. So we'll see. Hey, let's take a break here from the first hour of Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.